May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1066. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see, and cast each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. Hymn 1066.
Place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth labourers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the labourer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, as no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? But he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbour? Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. May he bless to us each his own most holy word, and grant us his help in prayer. O Lord, thou eternal and holy, and most merciful God, we found again in the sanctuary. Oh, we seek that humility and godly fear. Lord, we pray to be in that worshipping frame. And Lord, we are dependent on thee for that. We pray for a spirit of prayer. Lord, we wait on thee for that to be granted. We pray for a believing spirit. Lord, as we present our prayers, Lord, and we would venture to do so, pleading alone that all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus. And we read, Lord, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them which diligently seek. Oh, to be delivered from faithless prayers. Oh, to draw near with living faith. Lord, presenting these petitions in faith, and that such petitions may echo the desires of all of thy people here too. Lord, we don't only bring our own case to thee. It is the public means of grace. Lord, it is that we desire to be led into prayer and led into the concerns and cares and burdens of thy people also. And O Lord, rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Help us to return thanks for mercy, Lord, through another day, and indeed mercy every day. Thy mercy is anew every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. And we have to also acknowledge that with a willing spirit, Lord, that without thy sweet mercy we could not live here. Sin soon would reduce us to utter despair. But Lord, we have the name of Jesus to plead. It's a name which is above every name. It's a name dear to thy people. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. And so may we, Lord, this night be found in that right spirit. Lord, we pray that the old nature and spirit, the wandering mind, Lord, these carnal thoughts and heart, Lord, may be subdued. And Lord, we pray our worship is spiritual. Lord, if it isn't, it's just an abomination in thy sight. Lord, may we come like the woman in the 15th of Matthew who fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. May the things of time and sense, which are so important, Lord, may they be lost sight of now as we look into thy holy word. Lord, there's many burdens and there's many cares and many trials, many fears and doubts, Lord, but oh, that we might be lifted above them for a little season. And Lord, we pray too that just like those disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, when all those things passed away, they saw no man but Jesus only. Lord, may our heart and affection be set on him. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, we read. Lord, we are by birth and practice sons of Adam, made from the dust and soon returning to the dust. But we want, Lord, not the things of this world to occupy our mind. Lord, turn them away, turn us away from them. Lord, remove all hindrances, therefore, and may we indeed worship. Lord, we do seek thy blessing too upon thy word. We seek, Lord, an interest in what we've read. Lord, thou didst appoint 70 also, and Lord, they were to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, they were to preach where thou thyself would come. Lord, can we ask thee this blessing, this favour, Lord, from the glories of heaven where thy dwelling place is, at the Father's right hand as the mediator between God and men. And may it please thee, Lord, at this time to come and gather with us, Jesus in the midst. Lord, we read of that place called Calvary, two malefactors, one on the right hand, one on the left, and Jesus in the midst. Here, Lord, is a company of sinners. Lord, and some of us have to say, of whom art chief? And yet, Lord, may we plead for that privilege, that blessing, that high favour, Lord, to have thy presence amongst us. Lord, may we seek this blessing, Lord, that when we leave the sanctuary, that we may not leave Jesus Christ behind. Lord, oh, and go and take him to our homes. Lord, so we pray for this great blessing. Would remember, Lord, there are those who are not with us, Lord, that we pray for them and seek their welfare, and that I'd watch over them and preserve them and keep them. But the blessing, Lord, tonight is and must be always, Lord, in our own homes, in thy house, when we go about this vile world of sin and woe, may we have a company of Jesus. And may we hear his voice speaking, Lord, a still small voice, but heard by believers. May we have the inward witness, Lord, this night, that Jesus Christ is amongst us. And we do seek this blessing as we seek it so often. Lord, they said of those apostles, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Lord, what a blessing that must have been. Lord, we read of Moses when he came down from the mountain, his face shone. Lord, what is it about the people of God that is apparent when they've been with Jesus? Lord, one thing is certain, they want no more of this vile world, nor of their own sinful nature. Lord, one with Jesus by eternal union, one. And Lord, what is the blessing that comes from the union? Lord, one wrote, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. But Lord, this is the felt sense of this union and this communion and this blessing, to have Christ in us, amongst us, with us, going before us. And Lord, may we look back also. And Lord, look back and see Jesus Christ. We may borrow the hymn, Lord, when the poet said, my faith looks back to see the burdens thou didst bear, when hanging on the accursed tree, and hope's her guilt was there. So be mindful, Lord, of each here, those who bear office in the church here, Lord, give them wisdom and grace, and all humility. 'Tis a dependent office, as all offices are in the church. It's wholly dependent on the grace of God, and indeed the appearance and help constantly in the sanctuary, so give them that. Remember those who are members of the church. Lord, we pray that there may be that witness within, Lord, of the grace and mercy of God, and that outward witness. And that we pray for us each, whether we're in a church or not, Lord, to be an outward witness of that grace, because grace cannot be hidden. Lord, may we see the fruit of grace and hear the fruit of grace also. Lord, oh, bless each in this sanctuary. Lord, with that grace. And Lord, we pray for the trials and the troubles, the difficulties of the pathways of thy people. Lord, may they be brought in gracious faith and in all simplicity. Lord, to lay their burden on the Lord. Lord, we seek prosperity of a godly kind. We seek prosperity, Lord, because where thou dost work, the enemy works. Lord, if there's prosperity, there will be opposition. Days of adversity, days of prosperity, God has set one over against the other. Where there's living faith, there will be a trial of faith. Lord, though for a season we read it needs be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Lord, one of the clearest evidences of real faith is the trying of it. But, Lord, it shall abide, it shall remain, it shall come forth victorious. Watch over the sanctuary here still, Lord. Keep it from the wiles of the devil. Keep it from, Lord, those who are stirred up by Satan. Lord, protect the building, protect the services from the evil of this world. Lord, very mercifully do this, and very graciously appear and hear and answer prayer. Lord, not for their sake, not for my sake. Lord, answer prayer for Jesus' sake. We do humbly beg. Bless thy truth. Lord, we pray. pray that the blessing of the Holy Spirit be on the truth that is preached here. Remember all thy servants that come here. And Lord, as they preach the word, and Lord, may they have light and liberty. Indeed, may there be a following on of thy blessing. Lord, we seek this. Thy word shall not return to thee void, but it shall accomplish that which thou dost please and prosper in the thing whereto thou hast sent it. So we pray for all thy servants that come here, Lord, set them at liberty. And we remember too, Lord, that all that are in affliction's path, very mercifully, Lord, very graciously sanctify the path of affliction. May it cause them to cling closer upon thee, Lord. It'll make them more dependent on thee if it is sanctified. We do seek to pray for those in sorrow or in distress. Very graciously comfort them, send thy word with application, Lord, to all distressed and troubled people. We pray thee in through thy grace, Lord, support them in their distress and troubles. Oh, be very mindful, Lord, then, of the conditions, seasons, times, places in which thy people come into. We would remember the young and rising race, Lord, as they grow up in this vile world. Lord, put a hedge round them. But more than that, Lord, put the fear of God in them. That filial fear, that which is an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. Lord, nothing else will keep them safe. They've got an old nature, Lord, as we have. And Lord, thou knowest that our old nature is worse than it ever was. Lord, we pray that thou wilt indeed preserve and take care of the young and rising race. And Lord, may thy holy fear be in their heart. It was said of Nehemiah, so did not I because of the fear of God. Lord, we pray that grace may be found, though they are young. Lord, and though it may indeed take time, Lord, to appear, may it indeed keep them and preserve them. Oh, we do seek the welfare of the Church of Christ, Lord. We seek the restoration and reviving work of the Holy Ghost. Lord, there is a sad withholding, a sad withdrawing. Lord, why is it? Lord, thou knowest why it is. Lord, we would look in. Lord, we would not look at else. We look elsewhere. We would look in. Lord, we pray for that grace to discern in the purposes of God what causes thee to withdraw or hide thy face. Lord, isn't always to make thyself better known. Lord, thou hast a contention. Lord, we go back to better days than these. Better days in spiritual things. Lord, oh, how we felt indeed the nearness and blessedness of the person of Christ and the suitability and the blessedness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we walk paths of darkness and distress and sin's the cause of it. Oh, help us, Lord, grant us the same grace, Lord, that thou didst use as thou didst illustrate the case of the prodigal. And he began to be in want. Lord, turned his feet towards his father's house. There he obtained love. There he obtained mercy. Lord, once a son, always a son. But oh, we have to plead with thy servant David. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Lord, did not thy servant Paul write, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Did not thy servant Peter write, but grow in grace. Lord, oh, what a solemn growth that is. The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. Lord, may we be found in that company of people growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, that we shall know more the blackness of our nature, if we shall know more the mercy that's in Jesus Christ. We shall know more the hopelessness and helplessness that is in us by nature, Lord, and distresses our soul, before we know the love and mercy and condescension of Jesus Christ, Lord, who by his death and resurrection, Lord, redemption is for the worst of sinners. Oh, do appear for us then. Lord, we live in dangerous and evil times. Preserve the liberty that we have to worship. Lord, we have an open Bible and a means of grace. Lord, protect it. Lord, and bless it and make it a blessing to us, to those that follow on, Lord. Prepare us for thy holy will. Lord, we shall come to our last service. We shall come to our last time, our last day. Prepare us for it. Prepare us for glory, Lord. And so hear our prayers now. Pardon the sins of our prayers. And what we fail to ask, dear Lord, make up in giving. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 138. Jesus, I love thy charming name, 'tis music in my ear. Fain would I sound it out so loud that earth and heaven might hear. Hymn 138.
seeking the divine help of the Holy Spirit, and we'd ask your attention to our reading the Gospel as recorded by Luke, chapter 10, and the last verse, verse 42. Chapter 10 of Luke's Gospel, verse 42. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Sure of this, you would have heard many a discourse on this word. And I'm sure of this too, that those of you, each of you, may it please God, will be brought to see the importance of these first five words. Now, with the Lord's help, I would seek to bring them before you, and indeed to first begin to describe, as it were, what is necessary. We have here in this few verses those two characters, Mary and Martha. We read in John's Gospel that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That is therefore very evident that the one thing that is needful was found in each of their souls. What we have here, of course, is a timely word of rebuke and a reminder that one thing is needful. And isn't that reminder, my friends, necessary? No matter who you are and what you are, my friends, there's only one thing that is needful. But what then is the one thing that is needful? It came to me like this. Forgive me if I will just draw a very slight illustration. Forgive me if you think it shouldn't be said, my friends, but let me just say this very simply. If you are going to build something, you'll want a good foundation. That's where we must start. I know the hymn writer's words, Jesus is the one thing needful, I without him perish must. Absolute truth, my friends. I know this, Jesus Christ reminds us here, Mary hath chosen a good part. Where was Mary? She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's the evidence of that one thing is needful. But then it came to me like this. How did Mary get to Jesus' feet? How about you and I, dear friends? Have you ever been at Jesus' feet? Have you been led, taught, directed, brought there? My friends, I want to look at this word as I trust I had it shown, or it has been revealed to me. My friends, the reality of religion stands and absolutely shall always stand upon one thing that is needful, and that's a triune God. If you and I are favoured with the grace to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word, you might ponder for a moment how you came to be there. If you've taken up with the words of the psalmist, and the psalmist David says this, and call upon me in a day of trouble, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. How did you arrive at that place when you called upon him? When you come into the sanctuary of God, and it may be said, and I hope it's said of you all, Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How did you come to hunger and thirst after righteousness? If in your hearts, and I mean your spiritual heart, and in mine, there is found that holy fear of God, my friends, how did it come there? Oh, there's religion and there's religion, my friends. It's a word that's all embracing. But some, and it has to be said, and this is the fear of all believers, some of them would be tried and troubled as to whether there's a foundation. What is the foundation of this one thing that is needful? A triune God. That's the foundation. I reiterate what I've said. My friends, if Jesus Christ is the one thing needful to you, how did it come to be so? You didn't inherit it from your godly parents or grandparents. It wasn't born in you. If you was born as I was, my friends, you was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And if by the mercy and goodness of God to your soul now, is this word a most suitable word, a most necessary word? If this is the word that describes your exercise now, as you sit in God's house, my friends, think a little and meditate a little as the help, as the Spirit may help you. How did it come to be so? Because you can't inherit this blessing. What you inherited when you was born, my friends, was the sins of your parents, and they from their parents, and down to Adam. You came into this world with a free will, you know, and that was to sin and not to godliness. A complete willingness to sin. But the character here, and we must look at the character as it describes the Church of Christ, the people of God, the poor, the needy, the destitute and the helpless. My friends, these are all descriptions that grace will have you to know your own soul to be in. But you see, my friends, you must ponder over this. The Lord help us to do so. How did I come to be destitute? What a blessed word that is in the psalm. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. How did I come to be destitute? My friends, we must look therefore at this triune God and make mention of their office and make mention of their work. This is a foundation. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And they are the subjects of his love. In the counsels of Jehovah, in the counsels of eternity, God placed his love upon a people. And that people, my friends, will know what it is to seek for and possess the one thing that is needful. If God hasn't begun with you or with me, my friends, we've never begun with God. My friends, you can live in a church, you can go to chapel all your days, my friends, but if you have not got that which is given of God, an eternal choice, and the eternal choice is on whom he loves. He doesn't love them because he chose them. He chose them because he loved them. Put it the right way round. My friends, the people of God are a loved people. God loves them. And it must be so. Otherwise, you can doubt the poet's words. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. Now, my friends, those who are the subjects of his love are the subjects of his choice, and are the subjects of his preservation too. And again, I'm going to borrow the poet's words, preserved in Jesus when my feet made haste to hell, and there will I have gone, but he does all things well. His love was great, his mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. One thing is needful, my friend. One thing is needful. You that have made a profession And indeed, let us just use a natural example. Well, my friends, I suppose it will be said that some of you have made a profession, a natural profession. You've got a situation, a circumstance, you call it your occupation, you call it a profession, call it what you like. My friends, if it's not begun right, it won't go on right, will it? But the profession of a Christian must rest upon a triune God. My friends, once again, how did Martha, Mary and Lazarus to be the subjects of his love? My friends, because he loved them first, that's why. They were loved by God, loved by Jesus Christ. Now, there's another thing to say about this most necessary foundation work. My friends, and that is the work of the Holy Ghost. You see, it is his work, it is his office, it is his solemn work, my friends, to quicken souls into divine life. He spake, we read in the psalm, you may think it's an example of the creation. He spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. My friends, and so it does in the ways of grace. The Holy Spirit's work is to quicken souls into divine life. The poet says, and quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ or else I die. Now, my friends, the mercy of the work of the Holy Spirit is it takes it is of no concern or matter, and I say it very carefully in case you misunderstand me, the length, depth, height or breadth of sin that they have walked in. When God chose a people for himself and for his eternal praise, he chose those who shall be born into this world as sinners. And every one that is a hopeless and a helpless case in itself. My friends, but the mercy of God is that his choice was for sinners, not the righteous. Jesus, not the righteous, sinners Jesus came to save. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now the work of the Spirit, my friends, is to impart life in the soul. And life in the soul will be evident, my friends, by the fruit of that life. Life in the soul, my friends, is a revealing work. And it's also a confirming work. Such dear souls who are the subjects of the Holy Ghost's quickening power, my friends, are those who are stopped in their wild career, stopped in their godless pathway, stopped in their religious pathway. I suppose I would be truthful, wouldn't I, if I said that the majority of you here have been to chapel all your days. And my friends, on what ground, therefore, do you put, what ground what ground it is that you've any hope or comfort in a triune God? Would it be upon your works, not by works of righteousness that we have done? My friend, would it be by your knowledge of Holy Scripture? If you took Saul of Tarsus as a Pharisee, and a very positive Pharisee he was. My friends, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel and he learned all that he needed to learn about the law. And to, of course, of the ceremonies of the, as we might call, the church in the wilderness. Well, he would have known those, wouldn't he? You wouldn't have faulted Saul of Tarsus as a complete Pharisee, complete in self-righteousness, complete in knowledge, my friends, of those things which the Pharisee believes in, trusts in, rests upon. Oh, those things, my friends, he knew. But all that was taken away, my friends, when that day of his spiritual birth came. And I do, it's a wonder of grace, you know, this is where so many people come to look at the truth as it is in Jesus in a very wrong way. The very worst of sinners, my friends, if thou whose names are recorded in the book of life, my friends, have been subject to that choice and the subject of that love. But however deep and dark their path is in this world of sin and woe, my friends, however far they go along the broad way to destruction, they can go to the very gates of hell, you know. And we have that account, don't we, in Luke 23. We have the case of the dying thief. The very gates of hell stood before him. And there was something begun in him, and that was begun by the Holy Ghost. My friends, in simple terms, he came in need of Jesus. Now that's the simple way of explaining it or describing it, my friends, but that's the truth. Now, that these are needful things. A good foundation begins, my friends, not by the sinner, but by Almighty God. And the work of the Spirit is in the same sovereign way and manner, my friends, in the heart to quicken that soul into divine life. Look at the words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. You must be born again, born from above. How necessary. Nicodemus was somebody and something, wasn't he, in the temple religion. A master in Israel, and as ignorant as a heathen, my friends, as the ways of God. But one thing is needful, and it is evident, you see, that the words of Jesus Christ bore fruit. Because if you follow on in the scriptures, you'll find he was there, my friends, when the body of Jesus was taken down from the cross after he had died. What a solemn thing it is, my friends, when you have a religion that hasn't got a birth, hasn't got a supernatural birth, that it is not born from above, but rather born from within. How many will live and die resting upon a foundation they built, or indeed upon a foundation that they consider is sufficient? Jesus Christ spoke about the house that was built in Matthew's Gospel. One house built on the sand, one house built on a rock. And the house that was built on the rock stood, and the house that was built on the sand didn't. My friends, it's simple truth, but it's solemn truth. My friends, if God isn't in the beginning, he'll never be anywhere in that religion in a saving way or manner. And the Holy Ghost, my friends, is the blessed office bearer of that life-giving work. How will you know, my friends, that you possess this? Well, you could very simply say it was very evident because of these two characters that it was in both of them. Although one was more careful and troubled about many things, and who isn't, my friends? That's the path of life. And we need to remember it, we need to be reminded, my friends, that there is one thing far more important to consider than the things of time and sense. I don't know whether it was yesterday or whether it was Sunday, but in the exercise of my poor soul, in the house of God, when I'm on my own, my vestry, or when it was in my own home, I can't remember. But oh, I did try to labour before the Lord to seek this, that his presence will be with us, that his Spirit may be with us, that we might have life, that we might have liberty, and the Lord would follow with his blessing those truths that were indeed preached on that occasion. And then I came to a stop. And I have to say this to you, my friends. The question came to me like this. Did you ask him for his smile? Did you ask him for his approbation? My friends, do you, when you come to the house of God? You may, and I hope you do, lay up prayers on behalf of the minister or upon the truth that he preaches. But you see, one of the things that is necessary My friends, is the Lord has the honour and the glory. And the most necessary blessing to my soul is that he does so. But in this too, that we might feel his smile, know his smile and feel his approbation. Because to my mind, my friends, that's essential, especially in the ministry of the word. Oh, you think about it. Is your pathway got his approbation? Do you know his smile in that pathway? You know the way is dark, the world is evil. And the doubts and fears rise up, and Satan's one of your chiefest enemies. The chiefest enemies is your own wicked heart, my friends, but Satan's one of those who get together and as it were, form a warfare against the hope in the mercy of God. But you see, my friends, the way you walk cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. Now that's his approbation, and that's his smile. Now we must go back to this work of the Spirit of Truth that will quicken every vessel of mercy into divine life. And the fruit of it, my friends, will be seen in the supplications and in the walk. That will be the fruit of it. That's the evidence of it working. And if you perhaps you don't, but I have done in my times, had dealings with what I call convinced sinners, sensible sinners. And they have nothing to say for themselves but their state and condition as ruined in the Adam fall and made aware of it. My friends, and they look at this state and condition of their own soul, the wretchedness they feel, they mourn, and they are frightened of going to sleep at night in case they wake up in hell. My friends, they wonder as though they view that their conviction or the Lord convincing of their sinnership is a mark against them, and they wonder where they'll end their days. My friends, what they think is against them is on their side. We said in this poor prayer just now about the day of adversity. My friends, if you walk out the day of adversity in your soul, you will find, my friends, as I trust it has been revealed before now, my friends, the day of adversity is the best day you've ever lived. Days of prosperity, well, the child of God says, oh, that we might have more. Dear friends, heaven is beyond Jordan, not this side of Jordan. And in the day of prosperity, your soul indeed will be times, and it will be fleeting times, as it were, in comparison. But the day of adversity that you fear, and that you sigh about, and you're distressed about, and you're troubled about, and you consider that it is God's anger against you, and that he will one day drop you into hell because of this plague of sin within, my friends, the adversity of a work of grace is on the side of the believer, my friends, not against the believer. And you sing, don't you? You sing in this house of God, convince me of my sin and lead to Jesus' blood. My friends, and that's the work of grace. That's the foundation of this wonderful word. It's five words, but one thing is needful. My friends, if you've never convinced of your sin, you'll never cry out like the publican. If you was never taught you was a black, ruined, hell-deserving, totally hopeless as far as your own salvation is concerned, my friends, there wouldn't be a cry in your heart after Christ. The work of the Spirit is essential. It's that which is needful. And there's something else too about this word needful. One thing is needful. My friends, we can rightly apply this word, I believe, by saying this. If your soul is in need, my friends, it's because of the work of the Spirit. If you hunger for the things of God, if you long for a view of Christ Jesus, my friends, if you come into the house of God and inwardly cry out within your soul, can ever God dwell here? Concerning your own standing, my friends, you wonder whether you are going to hell or heaven. If you come in as a sinner that is been stripped of all his self-righteousness, hasn't got a prop to rest on, can't think of a good work that is commendable to God because there isn't one. My friends, you come in like David's psalm, the destitute. But you'll live to prove he hears the prayer of the destitute. It's newborn children that cry, you know. It's not, if you excuse me saying so, it's not stillbirth. A child is born into this world. A dear mother carries that child, and it is brought into this world, and the child cries. And it's the evidence of life. My friends, and the Lord Jesus Christ said to Ananias, behold, he prayeth. My friends, and that's the cry of a born-again Christian, born-again sinner. One thing is needful. How did you come to pray? How did you come to cry? My friends, perhaps you brought your children up to say their prayers at night, and the Lord bless you for doing so. But it's a better instruction, you know, when the Holy Ghost teaches them to pray. Oh, it most certainly is. It's the most blessed time and season, my friends, when you hear your children pray. Wonderful mercy. It's a privilege, my friends, I can't describe. When you hear those that you've been, that you brought up into the, brought into this world, or you brought them up in this world, my friends, when you hear them cry out as sinners, one thing is needful, the Spirit's work, my friends, will begin in the work, in the soul, that precious work, my friends. And what will that work do? It's got a twofold work. My friends, it looks within and it looks up. That twofold work. It sees the state, makes the soul feel the state of what it is to be a sinner in the eyes of God. Let me tell you this about a believer. My friends, God hates their sin, but he don't hate the sinner. Let me tell you that. Now then, what will this blessed Spirit do? My friends, it'll bring you where Mary was. That is why I believe this word comes like this. But one thing is needful. It will bring a sinner to the feet of Jesus. And whoever at the feet of Jesus ever went to perdition. My friends, every soul in glory, every redeemed soul in glory has been to the feet of Jesus. If you read the Pilgrim's Progress, you read about Christian. Where did he find deliverance, my friends? The foot of the cross. The foot of the cross. And his burden rolled off of him and rolled into the grave, never to be seen anymore. But one thing is needful. Now we therefore can understand the poet's words. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. But I tell you this, my friends, this one thing is needful, this one thing that is needful, my friends, will make you and I needy. Needy, dependent, wholly dependent, absolutely needy. But my God, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, shall supply all your need. Now, I say this about that word. My friends, he'll supply the need before he answers the cry of the needy. He'll put a need in your soul. My friends, he'll put it in your prayers before God, in private as well as in public. And the person of Jesus Christ, in all his mercy, in all his wonder, in all his love, in all his sufferings, death, and all his resurrection, my friends, that will be presented to you by the eye of faith, my friends, and the reality of that work of grace that we've spoken of centers upon all that he has done. It's a well-known phrase, isn't it? Well-known word. The publican could not, but he stood afar off, smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. There we have the illustration, my friends, of a believer. He could not draw near. He felt that sin was in, as it were, the barrier between his own soul and a holy God. Sin is a barrier. You know, in one of the prophecies we find those words, but your sin has separated you from your God. Now, that is so. That is so in the solemn effect of the mind and spirit upon a believer. Sin is in between. And it's the biggest mountain, and it's the greatest trouble that a poor believer can have. Well, my friends, look at the man who cried those words then. He could not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, here on my heart the burden lies, and past offences pain my eyes. Now he didn't look to the priests, you know. He lived in the days when the priesthood was still there. He didn't look to the priest. He didn't offer the sacrifice which was necessary in old time scripture, my friends, for the redemption of his sin, or the removal of his sin and the redemption of his soul. He didn't look to that. They were all types and shadows of good things to come. My friends, all we know about the poor man, the good man, my friends, is his cry unto God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. My friends, and that's what the Spirit of God will teach you all your days long. All your days long. Not just yesterday, not just as the commencement of a work of grace. My friends, this is not attainment up the spiritual ladder. This is not going from step to step to get a little bit better as you go on. This is not starting at the bottom like some occupations are and you end up in the boardroom. My friends, a sinner that is convinced of sin will be a sinner all his life. There will be those times and blessings and seasons, my friends, when the person of Jesus Christ will become precious to him in the want of him, and precious to him in the possession of him. Now, my friends, one thing is needful then. And you see, in the wonder provision of the gospel, and in the way of redemption and salvation, there was no other name, and there was no other man. He came into this world, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The whole of the Bible, my friends, is written for the Church of Christ. And I tell you something else. This world of sin and woe was created for the Church of Christ. And when the last vessel of mercy out of that number that no man can number, my friends, is redeemed with Jesus' blood, then the Lord has no more need of this earth. And it will be burnt up by fire. But blessed are those characters, my friends, that now have a desire for Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father. My friends, a sinner wants a saviour. A sinner has a debt. In fact, he has two debts. My friends, he's a debtor to do the whole law. He comes in guilty, totally, completely, utterly guilty. What's the other debt? A debtor to mercy. A debtor to mercy. And he'll never pay that debt, my friends. No more than he could pay the other one. Ah, but you see, in Jesus Christ, and in his substitutional work, my friends, and in his office bearer, and we might put it like this, he stood as a surety for his people. What does that mean? He paid the debt, my friends, and thou set free. Now, this blessed Spirit of Truth will reveal the things of Jesus Christ. If you read 16th of John, it says so. He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. If you read the 14th of John, he says, he shall teach you all things, and he'll teach you all things about yourself. And what a blessed view it is, the want of him. My friends, is a mercy. It's a great mercy to want him. It's a great mercy to long for him. It's a great mercy, I translate, the desire to know him whom to know aright is life eternal. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. My friends, that's where every believer will come to. Those times when all is black and dark, the more you look within, of course, the more it will be so. And that's what every believer, my friends, will come to find. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And all that fancied meekness that you thought you had, and you went into the house of God as someone who was little better than some of those poor sinners that pray. You know, do you enter into the prayers of the people of God, my friends, when they pray themselves as pray before you in public, as wretched and ruined sinners, my friends? I can go along with them. I knew an old deacon up the north, he's gone to glory. I sat in that chapel there, he was a deacon, and so he begins to speak in prayer before the service. I tell you straight, I could have sat there the whole hour and a half. My friends, it was music. It really was. I didn't want to go in a pulpit. I was quite content to listen to him in prayer before his God. He was so graciously able to pray. Didn't stutter and stumble along the way. My friends, he spoke to his God as it were, as Abraham did to his friend. Well, one thing is needful, the Spirit's work, my friends, is to reveal this glorious person. And also to make you and I to feel the need of this glorious person. You see, that's what, we mentioned the dying thief, which is in the 23rd chapter, my friends, that's what brought the evidence of grace to the light, didn't it? When he spoke against his fellow companion on the cross, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. My friends, he had another view of Jesus Christ that no one around the cross did. The dying thief that said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us, my friends, didn't have a saving view of Jesus Christ. All he wanted to do was escape the death that was coming to him. And I've often said, if that was the case, where would he have gone? He'd have gone back to his own wicked thieving life. But you see, the thief that was quickened into divine life, the thief that was just, that justified God in his own condemnation, the thief that cried out, God, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, my friends, was a thief in need, was a sinner in need. And such needy souls, taught of the Spirit, my friends, will obtain mercy. They've already obtained mercy. My friends, if you cry out of need, you may say, oh, well, I keep crying, I keep begging, I keep looking to the Lord. The Lord's a witness to my pleading that he will have mercy upon my wretched soul, that he might take all my sins away and hide them behind his back. My friends, you've already had mercy. You've already known mercy. The light of the Spirit of work of God working on your soul has revealed the complaint, but it has also revealed the remedy. My friends, it's made you and I cry out abundantly more and more as you get older, the need of mercy. My friends, what a mercy that you do cry out. I went somewhere recently, and this deacon said to me afterwards, oh, the ignorance. Oh, the ignorance, he said, I feel. Of these gracious truths. I said to him this, you're not ignorant of your ignorance, are you then? And he knew what I meant. My friend, what a mercy if you're not ignorant of your ignorance. You see, the world, the religious world, as well as the profane, my friends, are totally ignorant of the way of salvation. Oh, they know all about this lip service called sin. And they can repeat responses in the Church of England services about being sinners. My friends, but it's a work of grace that will convince you that without mercy you'll perish. My friends, and every soul out of Christ will perish. But a soul that cries for mercy, my friends, has already known mercy, although he may not appear to understand the word mercy. I thought many a time, my friends, of what is written in the eighth of the Acts of the eunuch. There he was coming back from Jerusalem. He'd been to Jerusalem for to worship, and now he was returning. Well, he occupied his time and his mind, my friends, in reading chapter 53 of the prophecy of Isaiah. Why was he reading it? My friends, because he was a seeking soul, that boy. He certainly was. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I, except some man should teach me? And so the apostle is invited into the chariot, and the words that he read, of course, was the words of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. My friends, the knowledge of Christ, unfolded by the Spirit, applied by the Spirit, my friends, brought a blessing with it. And so it will, child of grace. Dark as you are, black as you feel to be, unlikely to know mercy as you think you won't. My friends, if you saw mercy in the eyes of God, who is merciful to his people, you will see that he's had mercy, although you don't feel to be possession of it. You see, light has dawned on your soul. Light and knowledge has come. The light has shown you what a wretched sinner you are. And the knowledge of sin has made you cry unto God. And has brought you at the footstool of mercy. This is where Mary, what was Mary doing there? She wasn't just a respectable a witness, my friends. She was where she wanted to be. And nothing would deter her. The fact that Martha was so busy doing this, that and the other, cumbered about with much serving, my friends, had no impression upon the spirit of Mary. She wasn't hard-hearted. She wasn't indifferent. She was a sister. And she had the love of Christ in her heart. And so did Martha, if she only knew it. You see, they both enjoyed what I call a faithful, unchangeable friend. And a faithful, unchangeable friend could reprove Martha. But one thing is needful. My friends, and that dear woman knew what was needful. You can go on and read about Martha and Mary in another gospel, my friends, with far different emphasis on the person of Jesus Christ. Well, the Spirit will bring a sinner to a Saviour. Make him hopeless in himself first. Make him feel his destitution first. Make him cry out because of it. My friends, real religion is a feeling religion. You feel it inside. And it brings you to cry out for those mercies and favours which are revealed by the Spirit in Jesus Christ. He will take of mine and shall show it unto you. What do you say? I can see it's in him, but I don't seem to possess it. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding shorty's hand, and then again at mine. My friends, what a mercy it is, my friends, to need mercy. No soul that cried out of need for mercy, my friends, will ever be in despair. That cannot be so. My friends, as sure as a covenant of grace is recorded in the word of truth, and as sure as those who shall be found in the covenant of grace, every one of them will be a poor sinner, a dependent sinner, but a grace-taught sinner, my friends, and blessed with an interest in Christ Jesus. Grace and faith is the gift of God. My friends, it's an imparted gift. And that will bring a sinner to a Saviour. The woman who had the issue of blood is an example. My friends, you all know all about her, and you know what her complaint was. And you know that she was a dying sinner, unless she could find a remedy. And she heard of Jesus. Heard of Jesus. It's not found is not found, my friend. We're not using works of self-righteousness. She heard of Jesus, and that gave gracious faith to that woman. And not only that, it wasn't a doubtful faith, was it? There was no if and but about it, my friends. She came to Jesus as she was. And her faith brought her to say this: if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And what did she find? A multitude. A multitude about her. About Jesus. But you see, faith ventured. And faith ventured upon the person of Christ. And she obtained the blessing. One thing is needful. My friends, the Spirit of God will teach you the mercy of Jesus Christ. And will bring a sinner to Jesus Christ. It was mercy that called him in the first place. It was mercy that chose him in the counsels of Jehovah. It was mercy that stopped him in his wild career. It was mercy that turned a persecutor to a preacher. My friends, it's mercy that will bring every saved soul, every name that is in the Lamb's Book of Life, it will bring them to the feet of Jesus. My friends, why is it at the feet of Jesus? Humility. Gracious humility. And my friends, that's one of God's gracious gifts. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now don't look this word up, my friends, in the spiritual dictionary and say, well, it's got nothing to do with me then, because it talks about choosing. The Lord bless you and your soul with Christ, you know. And your very spirit will acquiesce to his will. And I tell you that because I know it. The Lord shall bless you. The Lord so bless you with his love. And my friends, love begets love, doesn't it? And that precious love to Christ that is formed in the soul of a believer to Christ is because Christ loved him in the first place, my friends. That precious soul will not count the cost of the way. And he won't hesitate once he's under that influence of love. Would to God, and I say that sincerely, my friends, and reverently so too, would to God we felt more of his love. Because that draws a sinner into the pathway, my friends, of following Jesus in the way. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Well, the Lord bless his own holy word. May you and I be in this secret, this good part, which shall not be taken away. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jemison will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 719. Come, ye Christians, sing the praises of your condescending God. Come and hymn the holy Jesus, who has washed us in his blood. We are poor and weak and silly, and to every evil prone. Yet our Jesus loves us freely, and receives us for his own. Hymn 719.
gracious Lord, wash with thy most precious blood all that has been wrong in thine eyes, and oh, to bless thine own word. Be with us now, Lord, as we part, when we go home. Take care of us each, preserve us from evil and all danger and harm. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us, both now and forever. Amen.